Still getting used to this thing, Terry. I'll turn it on. John chapter number 15. How many of you are grateful that your salvation is not based upon a football team that you root for? I get preoccupied at times at this time of year watching football and thinking about football teams and everything else. And I was reminded of something this week as I was studying the message. We spend an inordinate amount of time worried about who's quarterbacking our football teams. We spend an inordinate amount of time worried about who's on defense or who's on offense. And we worry about who's coaching this and who's coaching that, which this coach is going to go here. And we spend a lot of time and effort and things which really mean nothing, because the truth of the matter is we have no power over any of those things. You say, well, Brother Brian, I go home and I put on my lucky socks and I put on my shirt that I haven't washed in 2 years because my team wins every time I do that. All right? Now, some of you are like that, and I can smell you. Amen? I'm just teasing. But here's the problem. All right? In reality, we have no power. We can affect nothing that takes place anywhere else around here. Our power is very minute compared to the power of God. And I'm convinced in my life, and I know I'm hoping you're convinced in your life, that you can do nothing without the power of God working through you and in you. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning, of what God's Word says about that. John chapter 15, we've been going through the book of John, especially about the upper room. I'm going to start in verse number 1, and then we're going to jump off from John and go to a couple other passages of Scripture. It says Jesus is teaching His disciples. He says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And here's the key that we're going to look at this morning. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus Christ empowering you and I, we can do nothing. Now, wait a minute, Brother Brian. I drove myself here this morning. Jesus didn't drive me here. I worked all week long, Brother Brian. Jesus didn't work. I've done this and I've done that and I've done this and I've done that. Are you telling me that Jesus did those things? Well, I sure hope He did. He's the one that gave you the strength and the power to do those things. So when He says, without me, you can do nothing, what does that encompass? Every single thing. Now, as I've been studying about that this week, I had to ask God to forgive me several times daily. And here's why I had to ask God to forgive me, is that I sometimes do things in my flesh. I sometimes do things in my power and in my strength. And if you're like me, I fail miserably every single time. We've seen on Wednesday nights about Saul and David. We've been looking at 1 Samuel, looking at those things. And we see Saul trying to manipulate the situation all the time. Trying to work behind the scenes to get this accomplished. And trying to work behind the scenes to get that accomplished. Right now we're studying where he's trying to kill David. And trying to put David in situations where David's going to be killed. But David always escapes. Let me help you out with something. This may be the only thing that you hear and understand today. Manipulation is not faith. Write that down here in John chapter 15. Write that down somewhere. Manipulation is not faith. I refuse to try to put you all on a guilt trip. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to stand up here and try to make you feel sorry for things that you don't do that I think you ought to do. Now, there's times that we want to do that. I want to get up here and say, well, bless God, I'm a poor preacher and I can't afford this and I can't afford that. And oh, I wish somebody would give me some money. How many of you agree that's ridiculous? Oh, this poor church, there's a bunch of things we need done around here. We need leaves raked and we need plants done and we need things painted and everything else. Oh, and if somebody really loved Jesus, they would do it. How many of you agree that's ridiculous? It is ridiculous for me to have to get up here and say that. If I try to manipulate you into doing things, then what you're doing them is you're doing them in my manipulation. You ought to do things because God puts it on your heart to do it, not just because I try to manipulate into doing it. Amen? All right. Here's the issue. I'm tired of manipulating things. I'm tired of begging people to do things. I am tired of trying to get people to do things that they ought to be doing because they've got God living inside of them to do it. We'll say, Brother Brian, that's what we pay you to do. You pay me to manipulate you? You pay me to make you feel guilty? You pay me to make you feel good so that therefore, well, you made me feel good this week, so I guess I'll come down to church and do a couple things. No! It ought to be the power of God coursing through your bodies and saying, guess what? It needs to be done. Get it done. Wives, how many of you are tired of nagging your husband and doing things around the house? How many of you are tired of it, wives? A few brave ones in here this morning. Yeah, over here, Brother Dale, that's why he hadn't been in church in a while right there. Brothers and sisters, what we ought to do ought to be under the power of God, not under the power of men's manipulation. Look what Jesus says here again. He says, for without me, without my power, without my strength, you can do nothing. I want us to look at an instance where the disciples tried to do something under their own power, but they failed miserably. So hold your finger right here. We're going to come back to this in just a few minutes. But go to Mark chapter number 9 with me real quick. Mark chapter number 9. We're going to see an instance where the disciples tried to do it under their own strength, and they failed in a horrible situation. And they failed, and it almost cost a young man his life. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 14. Now, the transfiguration had just taken place, and Jesus and John and James and Peter went up to the mount, and they saw the wonderful transfiguration of Jesus, and they just come down from the mountain, and they're on a spiritual high, and they come down here in verse number 14, and when he, speaking of Jesus, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. And the scribes were questioning with them. I can just see his disciples were surrounded by the scribes and the people, and they were questioning, and they were throwing questions and all kinds of things towards him. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, when they beheld Jesus, they were greatly amazed, and they ran to him, and they saluted him. They said, hey, he's here. And he asked the scribes, what question are you with them? Why are you asking them these things? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Now, he was possessed by a demon. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams, and he gnashes his teeth, and he pines away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Underline that word, says, and they could not. This man come, and his son was possessed by a demon, and he was so desperate, he was looking for an answer, and he had heard about these great things that Jesus was doing, and he came and found his disciples, and he said surely in his mind, wow, here's his disciples, Jesus must be amongst them. And he got there, and he found out that Jesus wasn't there. Jesus and three other disciples had gone away for a little while, and this man was so desperate, he grabbed his one of the disciples by the collar and said, my son is possessed. You've got to help him. Please help him. Now, here's the key. The disciples had been doing this for a while now. They had been following Jesus, and Jesus had given them power. If you look at chapter number 10, Jesus had given them the power to be able to do these things. So they had the ability to cast out demons. And so when this fellow came up to Jesus, to the disciples, and said, "Hey, my son, he's possessed. Please get him out of it. Please help him, help him." I can just see the disciples with their chests all puffed out saying, "We got this. It's not a problem whatsoever. Sir, you've come to the right place." And there was a crowd around them, and the scribes were there, and I can just see them saying, "Oh man, this is no problem whatsoever. This is going to be a piece of cake." And I can just see them come saying, "Bring the boy to us. Oh Father, who art in heaven." I can just see it, because they've done it so many times. "Release this young man from his demon possession." And they expected the fireworks to go off and the young man to fall at his feet and kiss their feet and say, "Oh, thank you." But what happened? It didn't take place. Because look what the man says. And he says, verse number 18, he says, "And I spake to your disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not." Why couldn't his disciples cast out the demon? They had done it before. They had done it over and over and over again. Why couldn't the disciples cast out the demon? How many of you know why? Raise your hand. How many of you know why? You say, "Brother Brian, I don't know why. What are you asking me for?" You know why? It's because they did it in their own strength. They had done it before over and over and over again. And it always worked. But this time, it didn't work. See, Jesus had been with them when they did it before. Jesus wasn't with them this time. And they tried to do it themselves. Now, hold on a second. Some of you may not have a demon. I hope you don't have a demon in you. And some of you may not have a loved one or a friend that's got a demon in them. But there may be an impossible situation that you've been dealing with over and over and over again, and you're trying this method, and you're trying this means, and you're talking to this person, and you're talking to that person, and you're trying everything you can to take care of the situation, but it's failing over and over again. And you're wondering, why? Why is it failing? May I help you out? Because I've been learning this myself, and I'll continue to learn it. It's because you're doing it, and you're not letting God do it. The disciples were upset and they were disappointed, and I can see the crowd that was gathered around them. "Well, if you were really Jesus' disciples, that you could get rid of this demon." And I can see the dad looking at him, begging him, "Please, help my son, help him." And I can see the disciples talking to each other, saying, "Well, I've done it before. You did it before and you couldn't do it. Why? You've been praying. Maybe something wrong with you. Hey, you're not right with God." And I can see them starting to argue and fight amongst themselves. "Well, it's your fault. You're the one that..." And I can see that happening. So here Jesus shows up, and everybody goes running to Jesus saying, "Oh, Jesus, your disciples, they couldn't cast out the demon. There's something wrong with them." So Jesus comes up to the group. Look what he says to them. He answered this man, and he says this, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." See, Jesus knew that he was going to depart very soon. And he had been telling the disciples over and over and over again, "Fellas, I'm going to leave. And when I leave, you're going to have to carry on what I've been doing all these years. You're going to have to." Verse number 20. "And they brought him unto him," the young man unto Jesus. "And when he," Jesus, "saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed, and he was foaming from the mouth. And he asked his father," he says, "how long has it been since this came unto him?" And the dad says, "Since he was a child. And oft at times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Oh, Jesus, please. Your disciples couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. You're the only chance we have now, Jesus. Jesus said unto him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Now you say, "Wait a minute, Brother Brian. You're talking carte blanche. You're saying that if I believe that it can take place, it's going to happen, and so therefore I can get anything that I want done. And I can see the kids' minds moving right now. Oh, good. I can see it now. I'm going to go home and I'm going to ask my parents for a brand new computer. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my teachers that they ought to give me straight A's. And if I believe Jesus, they're going to do it. How many of you recognize that's not what it is talking about right there? We like to manipulate, see? Jesus is looking at his disciples saying, fellas, it's not your power, it's my power. I want to encourage you this morning. Stop doing it your way. How many of you have a bulletin right now? How many of you have a bulletin? All right, what I want you to do is on the back side of your bulletin, I don't have mine up here with me, I want you on the back side of the bulletin, there's some space down there at the bottom. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write the top three things that are troubling you this morning. Go ahead, real quick. Write the top three things that are troubling you. I'm not going to have you turn these into me. Don't worry. You're not going to exchange them. That's not what I'm. But I want you to top three things that are bothering you this morning. That seem impossible this morning. That can't be done this morning. Write them down. Now, I don't know what they are, but God does. And per person sitting next to you knows now. The top three things that are really bothering you this morning. All right, now I want you to circle the one that you can do by yourself. Choose another one that you can do by yourself. How many of you have three impossible things on your paper? So how are they going to get accomplished? How are they going to get done? Aren't you tired of manipulating? Aren't you tired of figuring out? Aren't you tired of waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out how you can do it? Aren't you tired of fighting with your spouse and your children and your family about them? Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you tired of going into work every day, worried about that? You say, now, Brother Brian, you're being awful simplistic. You're telling me that if I ask God to take care of these three things, that He'll take care of them, and I won't have any worries whatsoever. How many of you worship a big God? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That's what he says. And then he looks at this father and he says, if you can believe me, then you can see me work. This father was desperate. His son was possessed by a demon. He had no chance. He had nowhere else to go. But he went to Jesus and said, Jesus, you can do it. He had gone to the disciples. I'm sure he had gone to all the religious leaders, and none of them can do it. And he was desperate enough to finally say, God, you're the only one. I've got at least three impossible situations in my life this morning that I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and not a single one of them have worked. You know that almost 2 years ago, it's been 2 years now, my left eye went blind from a stroke. You know that. And when that took place, I got all kinds of ideas and things and say, hey, Brother Brian, go try this, go try that. I gone to the doctors and they suggested this. I took this medication, I took that medication. None of it worked whatsoever. Nothing. So what did I do? Did I just give up and say, well, nothing can happen, so I'm just going to have to just go on life? Or did I say, God, when it's your will and your timing, it can be done. I wanted to take my hand and pull my eyeball out and replace it. That's what I wanted to do. But I couldn't. Because I can't physically fix the problem. But God can fix what he wants when he wants. He's the only one that can do it. Brothers and sisters, your problem may not be fixed here on this earth, but if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, it'll be fixed eventually. Amen? You say, Brother Brian, I can't wait that long. Without Jesus, there is no chance. But with Jesus, it can be done. Now, let me show you something here. What Paul said about this. I've run out of time already. I can't believe it's gone so quick. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look how Paul dealt with this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm praying for my tongue this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Look how Paul dealt with this. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing," what? The thorn in the flesh. "For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." You prayed to God three times for this problem in your life? How many of you have prayed to God numerous times for this thing to depart from you? He says, "I prayed three times that it might depart from me." Here's what God responded to him. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." When I read that verse for the first time years ago, it didn't really hit me. But a little over 2 years ago when this took place, I read that verse and I said, you know what? Yes, I've got a vision problem, but I want the glory of Christ in my life without my vision. Brothers and sisters, I would rather glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Those problems that you wrote down on your bulletin right there, what's going to solve the problem? Your manipulation or the power of God? Those problems right there on the bulletin that you just wrote down a few minutes ago, who can take care of those things? The bank or the power of God? I would rather glory in my infirmities. Instead, I'd rather have the glory of God on me than have my infirmities go away. You understand what I'm talking about here? Here's what I'd like you to do. Go ahead and close your Bibles. I feel led that this is what God wants me to do. I want you to bow your heads just for a minute for me, okay? I want to be obedient to the Spirit this morning. Not manipulating anything. Please. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have got something going on in your life that you desperately need God to power and give you the power to deal with? How many just raise your hand this morning? Just raise your hand. Keep them up there. I'm going to pray with you in just a second. Keep them up. All right? Put them down. Another question. How many of you are sick of trying to do things yourself? Would you raise your hand? My hand's way up. Both my hands are way up. I'm sick of doing things myself. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to give those problems to the Lord today. I want you to describe to Him what's going on. I want you to take it to the cross and lay it at His feet and say, "Lord Jesus, you've got to handle this. I cannot handle this. I need your power and strength to do it. And you say, Brother Brian, does that mean it's going to be handled today and it's going to be right away? No. It might. What a glorious thing that would be. I want you to lay it at his feet, and then I want you to back off and say, okay, God, you take care of it. Miss Shirley, if you'll come to the piano for me, please. Brother Danny, you don't need to come. You're good where you are. As Miss Shirley's coming, I want you to pray. I'm going to pray with you, and then she's going to begin to play. And if you want to come and pray, I want to invite you to come and pray. Bring your spouse, bring your family, come by yourself, bring a friend, whatever. But I feel right now is the time to stop in the manipulations in our life, stop trying to figure things out, and just simply say, Jesus, you handle this because I can't anymore. Heavenly Father, you know what's on our hearts this morning. You know what we're dealing with, and I'm asking you to please forgive me for trying to manipulate things in my life and in my family's life. I can't manipulate anything because it fails. Instead, Father, I need your strength. I need your wisdom. And I need to simply just let you do it. I've got brothers and sisters in this room that are facing battles and things that only you know about. Some of them might be ready to give up. Some of them might be ready to say, you know what, I can't do this no more, and I'm giving up. May today you strengthen them to trust in you. Lord, I'm not looking for a magic incantation. I'm not looking for a few little words that we can say to manipulate. I just simply want to lay these at your feet and let you do them. Father, you've done the impossible before. You've never failed us. You've never forsaken us. So I'm asking you, Father, this morning, that you do what needs to be done in your timing and in your way. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Shirley's going to play for a couple times. I'm going to ask you to come. If you want to come, I'll gladly meet you and pray if you want. If not, you can pray by yourself. Just do what God's telling you to do.